This is the Podcast Inc. production. Booyah!
And now, this is the moment podcasting fans listening around the world have been waiting for. Coming to you, not so live, from a listening device of your choice, it's time! Podcasting out of this corner, a mixed martial talker, holding no professional record, he stands at 6 feet 1 1/2 inches tall, weighing in at whatever he feels like, hailing out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, presenting the sometimes angry, always funny, self-proclaimed podcasting champion of the world, Steve Fingerstyles.
So, welcome to another rendition of the podcast. I am here once again, always again, and joined by a Billboard charting recording artist whose music is also featured in a ton of video games and whom you've seen recently on the stage at WrestleMania 40. Returning guest, Megaran.
Yo, what's up, dude?
What's going on, my friend? Welcome back, my friend. How are you?
It's good to be back. That was a great intro.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
It's
Life's been lifing. How you been?
Good. Just got back from vacation a few weeks ago. Can't really complain. Give it about one more week. I think it's the 1 month mark where you start jonesing again to go back on vacation, I think.
Yep.
Because everything goes back to normal. The stresses come back and you're like, oh, I'm right back where I was a month ago.
No, that's the truth.
Right. So, okay, well, let's get it. I said it in the intro. You were on the stage for WrestleMania 40. This was all last minute, apparently. You haven't told the story yet. Please, my friend, don't leave out any details. Leave no stone unturned. How did all this happen from start to finish?
Oh, man. From start to finish, I have to go back almost 15, 16 years.
Wow. Okay.
You know, in my past life, I used to be an educator. And so I taught in Philadelphia for a long time. I lived in Philadelphia for a long time. Right. And then WrestleMania comes there this year. So a lot of people were just kind of saying like, oh man, I know you got something cool planned. Like, I know you like really would love to be a part of this. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I also just want to be a fan, you know, and enjoy it. And so I did a lot of that, but yeah, my first album came out in 2006 and it has a song on it called Push. And on that song, there's a saxophonist who does a great solo. Nice. And his name is Frank Machos. Okay. And Frank is, you know, among other things, he's a musical genius, educator, a bunch of other things. I collaborated with him on that first album. And then Frank went on to do amazing things. He taught in the school district, then became like the head of the music department of the entire school district.
Right.
And then orchestral composer.
Oh, nice.
He runs a children's orchestral choir called the All City Orchestra.
Ooh. Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's like the man when it comes to like Philly musical stuff. So while I'm making my Mania plans, he gets a literal call from WWE saying, hey, we want your kids to play out Roman Reigns during his intro.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and they're like, he's like, okay, sure. He sends them. They're like, look, we're going to basically back up a big truck, like a moving truck to your school or your area. Just put in as many instruments as you think you'll need for the stage.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll bring those to the stadium. And then, you know, you have students that, with permission, will come and play on stage. And he's like, all right, gets together about 40. Actually, that was a lot. I think it was like 90 kids all together.
Oh, wow.
So that's happening without me knowing anything.
Okay.
So then fast forward, I'm in Philadelphia. I'm having a brunch with some great friends during Mania Week. And as I left the brunch, I get a text from Frank. And Frank's like, hey, man, this is Sunday of Mania. So night two.
Okay.
It's day two of Mania. He gives me a text like, hey, dude, like, I know you love wrestling. You'll probably be there. So, you know, I guess I'll see you. I think I'm going to be backstage. So I guess I'll see you there. Oh, and wow. I was like, well, I'm not going to be backstage, but I'll see you, you know. And he's like, well, I mean, if you could meet me in about 30 minutes, I can explain to you what's about to happen. And maybe you could even be a part of it. Oh, and I'm like, what? So luckily, I checked the distance of where he is and where I am. Mm-hmm. It's about 25 minutes.
Okay, not too bad.
All right. So this is one of those times where you have to make a really split-second decision. Do you want to possibly be a part of history? Mm. And you got to think about what, you know, what's at stake. So unfortunately, I was supposed to go appear at WrestleCon.
Oh.
You know, okay. Just to set up. I had a table set up, and I was going to just come there and sign and talk to fans who came by.
Sure.
I did it on Friday. And I was supposed to do it on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But this came up. So I was like, well, I might have to miss WrestleCon. Mm. And he's like, all right, I just need you to be wearing black. And I looked down and I was wearing black.
Perfect.
And he's like, all right, well, meet me at the bus. And so I get in an Uber and I'm like, follow that car, you know. And we ride to the Kimmel Center, which is the big musical orchestral venue in town.
Okay.
And it turns out, there is no bus. I'm just like, where's the bus? And then I see a bus taking off already. Mm. And I call him and I'm like, did I miss the bus? Mm. And he's like, yeah, I think so. And I'm like, oh, man. Well, what am I supposed to do now? And he's like, you know what? Just come on down to the stadium. Get back in the Uber. Get on down to the stadium.
Sure.
And I'm like, the Uber had already left.
Oh.
So I have to call another Uber. And just tell them to go to the stadium.
Okay.
And try to get me as close to the building as possible. You know, there's right, production right. trucks, there's security.
That's right.
Not going to be easy. If I was in the charter bus with everybody, that would have been a lot simpler.
Of course.
But of course, this type of thing to happen, it can't be easy. You know, it just has to, it has to be insane. So, so I'm with my boy Teague Hall. Shout out to Teague. And he's wearing black too. So I was like, all right, let's go.
Okay.
And, we get down there and the Uber driver's like, where do you want me to drop you off? Like, I don't understand. I was like, oh, I see those buses. Like, drop us off near those buses. And he tries to get close and security's like, you can't get any further without someone from WWE to vouch.
Okay.
And so I call Frank and Frank's with the WWE guy who then walks me up. He comes out, gets us and sends us back.
Oh, perfect.
So again, I still don't know what's happening. I'm just showing up.
You're just there.
I'm just there.
Oh my God.
So he's as soon as I walk in, they're like, hey, we need you guys at stage for a dress rehearsal. And we're like, oh, all right. Just fall in line. So we just jump into the back of the line of 90 some odd kids. And we still don't know what's happening. And so we're in Gorilla. So I don't know if they've showed a couple of scenes of Gorilla.
Yeah.
For WrestleMania 40 and how it's a very
long, yes.
Long walkway
okay.
up to the stage. And so luckily it was because there's 90 some odd kids. And they're okay. all lined up and they're like, hey, get to the right up on the wall.
Right.
So there's 90 kids lining up on the wall. Okay. Just standing there.
Gotcha.
Figuring out what to do. Then they come by and they hand us a red bandana, each one of us.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, what's this all about? And I'm like, oh, well, you're supposed to be representing the bloodline. They're the bad guys. They wear red. So tie this bandana around your arm, you know, and, you know, whatever.
Okay.
And we're like, okay. So then we look around and Roman Reigns walks by us.
Nice.
And then Paul Heyman walks by us. And then Triple H walks by us. And I was like, right. I think it's time. And so... And they're like, all right, guys, everybody to the stage. We go to the stage. The instruments are already set up. And Frank's like, hey, you guys want to jump on percussion? And I'm like,
just like that.
Yeah, sure. So we're far stage left. So under the word mania, if you watch, there's maybe a cup, like 3 or 4 seconds at most of where you can even see us.
Right.
Because the whole stage is covered with kids.
That's right. Yeah.
And he's like, you know, just you guys can just fill out some of the empty spaces.
Oh, there you go.
So we did. So I was behind the drummer. And we're doing some, you know, percussion and my boy Teague has the shoulder harness thing on, like he's at gotcha. Marching band.
Yeah.
And so they do a couple of dress rehearsals. Roman comes out. He's like in a hoodie. He's not like in his wrestling gear yet. but he's like pretending, you know, doing what he's going to do.
Okay.
And they can walk through the whole thing and they have us play a little bit and they're like, just ad lib, mm-hmm. you know, when you feel something could use a little flavor, just,
oh, nice.
Just jump in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we do that and we do it twice and it sounds really good. Triple H is like, yeah, I love it. That's good. Nice work, guys.
Beauty.
And then we all head back. Mm-hmm. And then he tells us, oh, you're not going to be mic'd, by the way. So nothing you do is going to really be heard on television. It might be heard a little bit in the crowd.
Sure.
Because these are giant big drums. Oh. But without mics on them, you know, the other side of the arena won't hear it. Makes sense. Recording track that we're playing to.
Gotcha.
So they did a recorded, like, orchestral version of Roman's theme, mm-hmm. which I don't know if the kids recorded on or not, or someone else recorded on it. I don't know. But that way you can't mess it up. You know, it's live TV. You can't mess it up with somebody just deciding they want to solo all crazy. And, you know.
You never know. Right?
You know, like, you can't, you know, have that moment. So
funny.
So yeah, it's all pre-recorded.
Okay.
And so even when you listen back, if you watch it with like an astute kind of mind, you'll see the drummer going crazy. But that's actually not happening on the track when you hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, wait, I don't hear those drums hitting at all. You know? So you hear it if you're sitting right near us. Mm. You know? But anyway, so we go back to the back. That's like 1 p.m. This show doesn't start till 6.
Right.
And Roman's thing isn't until 10:30.
Exactly.
So
oh man,
we are there all day.
Wow.
And you know, a big part of entertainment really is the hurry up and wait. You know, you get in, you do your thing, and then you just wait.
Yeah.
You wait till you're called, you go back to your trailer, you wait till you're called, go back. It's like acting like anything else.
Right.
And so we didn't get we just had to sit and wait. Next thing you know, so we go back to the trailer, or not a trailer, we have a tent, which is a pretty cool tent.
Okay.
Giant tent, kind of right outside of the arena. So you walk out, and then it's right there.
Okay.
Which is still within the gate of the building. Mm-hmm. We also see a bunch of the guys that are doing Drew McIntyre's entrance.
Ah, okay.
So they're kind of dressed in like Vikings and, you know, big beards and Scottish warriors stuff. And a lot of them were independent wrestlers. Who were just brought in for, you know, for the night, just as an extra. And some of them I didn't recognize. I was like, oh, man, but how'd you get here? One guy that I knew. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, they just did a big casting call for, like, big dudes with big beards.
Oh, wow.
You know? And so that's how they got their group of guys.
Right.
So, yeah, we just stayed in the extras tent. And this is the second time I've had to kind of do an extra thing for WWE. So, mm-hmm. First time was the SmackDown rap battle way back. Right. And with that, I just kind of sat with all the, you know, all the other wrestlers who were booked to do different things. Like sometimes there's a security guard. Sometimes there's, you know, a random person.
Exactly.
It's an indie wrestler. So,
right.
So we're back there with everybody just hanging out. We're eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and drinking sodas and, you know, just chilling. And they brought in a TV so we could watch the show. But, you know, that was, we spent a lot of time just doing nothing,
wow.
you know, and, but you just wait for your moment. That's kind of what it is.
I guess, just
wait for your moment. So, but it was a cool area to be because there was just a lot going on. So that area outside of the building, mm-hmm. they film everyone walking in, you know, they try to get those real like shots.
Yeah. When like the athletes arriving to the arena, right?
Yeah. Which is, I think they got a lot of that from like the UFC style.
Yes. Good point.
And it's really been, it's a really great production tool.
Of course.
You know, they get you hyped.
Yeah.
So right outside of our trailer, like the kids, you know, these are 12, 13, 14 year old kids. Mm-hmm. And so some of them are big wrestling fans, some are not.
Okay.
But they see The Rock and they just all vroom.
Of course.
Run to the door. And I was like, what are you guys ready for? And I look and it's like, oh snap, The Rock is right there.
Yeah.
You know, like Rock and Roman are entering. Then they go back and cut it again. Rock and Roman are entering. So we got to see that stuff happen a few times.
Oh, that's cool.
Cody entering and things like that. So yeah, it was a really awesome moment. And watching the show with these kids mm-hmm. really let me understand why Logan Paul is so important to what they do.
Oh.
It gave me a whole other opinion of him. You know, and I love Logan Paul's work. I think he's taken to wrestling so well, you know. But, you know, his past has been checkered.
Yes.
You know,
I have the exact same view as you do, my friend.
Some of the weird things he did back in the day. So we don't necessarily, our generation doesn't have a lot of either knowledge or respect for what he brings to the table.
Exactly.
But when you watch these room full of kids just go nuts the moment he gets on screen.
Mm-hmm.
They show his friend, I Show Speed,
and they
just go nuts. They're like, it's Speed, oh my God! Like a room of 90 kids just flipping
so crazy.
Out for him. And went, oh my God, he kicked Speed!
Right? You know,
and they're just like going nuts. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I see now what's happening. And the insertion of Logan Paul into wrestling is just, it's gonna set them up for another generation.
It is.
You know, because this is bringing in younger kids that know him from YouTube, know him from other different things, that are gonna become lifelong fans, you know? So he's a bridge to the younger generation that they really don't have. I mean, I guess Bad Bunny helps as well.
Right.
And people like that. But like, it's a bridge to the younger generation that, even the mainstream generation who doesn't watch wrestling. So,
good point.
It's brilliant. It really is brilliant. And I didn't get to see it until I saw these kids just light up for anything he did. They just went nuts. And even if they didn't like him, they're just like, oh, beat him up. You know,
right,
they got so excited about anything happening, you know, with him. So, that was cool to watch that match with the kids. The only part that sucked, honestly, is that I paid for a ticket. And I didn't actually get to use it because I'm sitting in the back watching on a monitor.
Right.
And I was like, oh man, if I'd have known that, I saved my $500 or whatever I spent on a ticket. But it is what it is. So
that's hilarious.
Fast forward, the Bayley match is on, and they're like, all right, guys, you're up in 15 minutes. And
okay,
like,
yes.
Oh, snap.
Here we go.
And so we get the word that we're up. Mm-hmm. And we start that long walk through to Gorilla. And I think I see all kinds of people. Like, I see Snoop Dogg riding by on a golf cart.
Nice.
We see The Rock again on a golf cart.
Right.
All kinds of stuff happening. And then as I'm walking up, we see this very tall man wearing all black and a bandana. And he's facing away from us. Oh. And one of the kids taps the other kids and says, that's The Undertaker.
Oh, so you got to see him before it happened.
And
oh.
I was like, oh, it totally kind of spoiled me.
Right.
But that was, as we were walking up, I was like, oh, snap, what are you doing here? You know, and we just fist bumped him and kept going. And I was like, oh, snap. And then one of the other kids was like, I think I saw John Cena too.
Oh, no.
So but there's a lot of rumblings right before we go on stage of what's going to happen. And then it's time to get up there, man. We walk through Gorilla. And it's just an amazing feeling, like just to be able to get through that area, like where so many greats have come through. It was awesome. So we get up there and they're just like, guys, you know, just have fun. You know, you're supposed to be angry. You're the bad guys. So don't smile.
Good point.
Just keep a stone face.
Yeah, yeah.
And just go at it. And also there's going to be a lot of pyro. Don't get scared. Don't jump. You know, but it's going to happen. So, you know, we have to be unbothered by that kind of thing. So we came out and, man, the crowd went nuts. And when I watched it back on TV, it was one of the most epic entrances I've ever seen. It's like just having the whole stage full of musicians, Roman coming right through the middle, just looking like $1 million. It's a really awesome entrance. And then afterwards, people telling me like, man, you were part of like the last entrance, you know, of the Roman Reigns era.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
So that's kinda cool, you know, and I totally didn't think about that. But I was just there pretending to play drums and just soaking in the moment, you know, being a kid from Philadelphia.
And who, that too, you know, right? It's in your hometown.
When that, you know, when that building was built, like I clearly remember it, you know, and to be on stage during that show and that big of a historic moment was just unbelievable. And so we do our thing, we boom, you know.
Yeah.
And it's probably like a 10-minute intro. And then once he gets to the stage, they have everybody just kind of pull off the stage, grab your instrument, and go. And then you go back to the Gorilla and everybody's just like clapping and standing up, like, you guys have been so great. You know,
nice.
Yada, yada. And we're like shaking hands with everybody. It was a really fun time. And then after that, this is probably the second not so great point is one, having to watch on the monitor, and two, once it was over, the kids had to go home.
Shut up.
And maybe it was because, you know, they're children.
Okay.
It's a late, maybe late show. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. There could be some other reasons. I didn't think about it. But Frank gives everybody a speech like, hey, I might not even see you before, when the show's over.
Okay.
You just head right back, go to the tent, grab your things, and then walk towards the bus.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, man, they got to go home? Hmm. You know, but I didn't think about their parents probably waiting for them at the pickup point, things like that. And I was like, but it's the last match. Like, let them watch the match and then, you know, go.
Right.
But I don't know. I was a little disappointed at that. But, you know, they were like, they didn't come by and give everybody a WrestleMania hoodie. Like, hey, thanks for playing. Thanks for coming, you know.
Right.
No, like, you know, it was just like, and we're done.
Okay.
And so me and Teak, you know, I don't know how much of this I should say. But again, I bought a ticket. So I did not come to this show to leave before the main event.
I don't blame you.
Before Cody finishes the story.
Yeah.
So enough's enough. I'm going to watch this dang show.
Good for you.
So as we start, the kids start leaving.
Right.
I just walk back into the building. I was like, we're going to just, come on, let's go.
Right.
And we walk back into the building. And next thing you know, we just keep walking. And then we're like literally on the floor.
Wow.
And kind of far out, but we're like right on the floor for the final match.
Yep.
So at least we get to watch it. But I couldn't find a seat, so we just kind of walked around the entire match.
Sure.
Because it's like a legit sellout. Like, the floor is totally packed.
Right.
Everybody's here for this show, for this match, and everybody's standing up. And so I couldn't even find a seat, so we just walked for the duration of that whole match.
Wow.
Just walked around on the floor. But it was cool. We got really good vantage points and good stick photos.
Right.
But, yeah, it was amazing. And then when it all ended, I met up with some of my friends who were on the floor.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we wound up getting out of there. Everybody was happy. And it was just an incredible time, man. It was a moment that I'll never forget, for sure.
Well, now, because of the nostalgic factor and your involvement, would this be your favorite WrestleMania of all time?
I got to watch it back for that. But, I mean, the fact that, I mean, hey, they've done 40 of them, and I haven't been in any of them except this one. So, for that reason, yes, this would be the greatest of all time. But, I mean, just pure entertainment value, like, it might have been one of
it's
the
up
best,
there. You know? Top five, it's I think, there. For sure. Has to
I think top five. They've been just really, they delivered on a lot of levels. So, I want to watch it back, but, you know, for sure, like, from just being there, that first night especially, like, it felt very special, like one of the best ever.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, if you are into wrestling and you're listening to the show and you want to support the show, please visit firstrow.ca. Use promo code thepodcast20 to receive 20% off. They got a ton of stuff from the wrestling world, signed sports memorabilia, old comic books, old video games, anything you need or want, it is there. Best thing is they ship worldwide. Even better, they update daily. So please visit them at firstrow.ca. And if you're into video games and books, please visit bossfightbooks.com for great books on classic video games. You'll find titles like NBA Jam, Red Dead Redemption, Final Fantasy VI, and so many others. Everything you see on their website's available in paperback and ebook format. So please check them out at bossfightbooks.com. And if you want to support me directly, you can visit my merchandise store at tpublic.com or scroll down on today's device you're listening to on. It's right there in the description. Click on that link, takes you right to the merchandise store. I got everything from hoodies to t-shirts to travel mugs, anything you need or want, it is there. But the easiest thing, the freest thing, the best thing to do to support the show is rate, subscribe, review on all major platforms, most specifically Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. All right, my friend, ton of video game related stuff in those reads. I want to touch on some video games. My friend, it's not like you don't have enough to do. Like, you open or you started an Instagram page highlighting retro gaming now?
Yes. Yeah, like you said, like, not like I don't have enough to do. But I'm really proud of it. We did the video game flip of the day, basically, where I get to highlight video games and video game music that's been kind of slept on. You know, that's always been my passion, for sure. Video game music and hip-hop music became my favorite things, like, at the same time almost. You know, I tell the story of when I was growing up, I would sit my little recorder next to the TV and record the video game themes
Right.
Like if the game was paused, I would just record them onto a cassette.
Oh, wow.
And then the other side of the cassette, I would turn to Yo MTV Raps.
Okay.
And then record those songs.
Look
and
at
so
that.
I would have a dual mixtape of video game music and hip hop music. And so if somebody was like, hey, what are you listening to? I would flip it, you know, to hip hop and be like, oh, I'm listening to hip hop. Like, oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. But, you know, if I was listening to game music, they would think I'm some kind of weirdo. But but yeah, it was those things both hit me at the same exact time. And I didn't realize it until 20 years later as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, why don't I mix video games? Why don't I make hip hop about video games?
Right.
Why can't there be hip hop in video games? Why can't these things work together?
Yes.
And so that's been my life's mission since then. So a page like this, it started off with just me realizing like a lot of my favorite games have been kind of sampled in hip hop, you know? And so talking about themes, and the first one was Eternal Champions for the Sega Genesis.
Yep.
And it was a fighting game that maybe didn't get a lot of love, but
I liked it. Cool. It was okay.
I thought it was all right. I would love to see a sequel, you know? But it came out in the rush of like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. Like there was just a lot of really top tier games coming in, and that was not, it didn't quite cut through.
Yeah, yeah.
But one of the songs on there got sampled by Bone Thugs and Harmony, and they turned it into a really cool song. So I wanted to make sure to highlight that. So I take a game that's been slept on, and then I find a through line where maybe a track from that game has either been sampled, interpolated, or just used to influence a song or a piece of pop culture.
Sure.
And so that's been, and it's kind of, it's a struggle in a way, because it's like, I want to do one of these every day, but I don't know if there's a story like that's that interesting to give 365 of them.
Right.
So I've extended, you know, to be like, well, here's a game that you might not remember that had great music.
Okay.
You know, so last one I did, or a game that you really love, but a hip hop artist has flipped it. So most recently was Super Metroid.
Okay.
The 30-year anniversary just passed of that yesterday. And so I wanted to highlight that it's a great game, but also has an amazing soundtrack. And soundtrack's so amazing that maybe you didn't know that this person sampled it and that person sampled it. Mm-hmm. So,
that's cool.
So yeah, that's been my goal with the channel.
Cool.
It's Instagram right now, and hopefully maybe as it expands, I'd like to take that to you know, maybe YouTube and doing other things with it. Maybe
sure.
do panels on video game music at you know, conventions, conferences, things like that. Eventually, that's the goal for that.
Oh, there you go. Well, speaking of video game music, quick shout out to T. Lopes, because he's a former guest, and he's also done work with yourself, so shout out to him. And I love these, like, it's true, like, now we have composers and people who make video game music, and that's its own genre. Like, how cool, did you ever think of that as a kid, that it would turn into its own genre?
Never.
Right?
No, man. That's not something I ever thought was a possibility.
It's crazy.
But it's crazy, because even when we first started playing these things, it's been, you know, somebody has to make the music, you know. But even that, the people who were getting hired to make these songs, they weren't really considered musicians.
No,
they were just
exactly
people who did the thing.
Yeah,
you know, you were a programmer. You were just another person on the team.
Yeah, yeah.
And but we didn't take into account the musicianship that it really took to create these really awesome themes that we've been humming for 25, 30 years, you know? So it's been, man, it's been an amazing journey to see, you know, I don't think it's gotten the respect that it deserves even to this point, but we still see now like people being able to make a living doing this stuff.
Right.
And finding a niche and a style, like, you know, whether T. Lopes with the retro style of things, he did Turtles, he did Sonic, you know, he's becoming like the retro guy. And then there's also orchestral folks who have been able to transition into the video game world and make amazing things. Bear McCreary, Will Roget just did Helldivers. There's so many that are just amazing musicians that have decided to make video games a big part of their life and their work. And their, you know, their passion really shows, you know.
No, and it's good. And I hope they get their just flowers, because I compare it to sort of like composers for movies and TV shows. Back in the day, in the silent era, you didn't have that job. Like, and then slowly, now it's an Academy Award, all that stuff, right? So why not have it the same thing for video games?
It'll happen, man. I don't know, man. It'll happen, but I feel like there is a there's this little bit of separation that I didn't really realize happened, but just recently, and I really love the guy's work, Ludvig Göransson.
Right. Who infamous post.
I
yes.
don't know if you heard his quote.
Yep. But, yep. Yep.
And I love Ludvig's work. I mean, he did The Mandalorian. He did Black Panther. Like. Mm-hmm. He did so much good stuff.
Yeah.
But like he wins an award and then says, oh man, I'm so glad my parents put me in like music classes instead of put me in front of a video game.
I know.
You know? Oof. And it just seemed like an unnecessary shot to be like, dang, man, like what's your beef? Like we're crawling up your butt and died. Like video games are just over here chilling.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? They're existing. They're helping people build their, you know, hand-eye coordination and you know, things like that. And this guy's just being a hater for no reason. And I was just like, again, I don't want to take and assume that it's malicious intent, because in a moment like that, where you win an award, you just kind of, blah, 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 let me just say something because they got a timer on you and, you know,
sure.
You could be nervous. So I don't think it was malicious, but it seemed like a very unnecessary shot. So I do think that there is this separation where orchestral folks who make movie scores are like, oh, I make real music. I don't make that video game stuff. You know what I mean? And I really do. And when I've talked to other musicians about it that make video game music, they're like, dang, I saw that. And I thought, oh, well, maybe that's why I never won a freaking Academy Award. It's because I played video games, you know? And looking at it like in a joking way, maybe he's right. You know, if I wasn't playing Super Mario. Funny. And I was, you know, doing more work on the piano, then maybe I'd score Oppenheimer, you know?
Oh, my God.
But it's a weird thing, man. Like, I didn't dig it, but there does seem to be this separation. And it happens within every subgenre, you know? I exist in a subgenre of hip-hop called nerd rap, or nerdcore. And so I'm sure people who make music, and I've had artists even say it to me sometimes, with that maybe not even meaning anything malicious, but saying like, oh, man, well, what I do is different from you because, you know, I don't have other source material to lean on.
Right.
Or I don't have, you know, an IP of someone else to propel it, you know, or to get it heard. So a lot of people do feel like making kind of a niche thing is a bit of an easy route, you know, or a cheat code. But it certainly is not. And it probably takes just as much skill, if not more, to write a song about The Mandalorian. For example, as it would be to write a love song or, you know, a song about your own life or about a wrestler or a cowboy or any of these other things, you know. And I don't know, but there is a weird separation that I wish didn't happen, but I understand it.
And the funny thing is, it's always about the generations, especially when it comes to entertainment, because again, it's a nostalgic factor. What you grew up with is what you love, and nothing is better than that, right? And it's the same thing when it comes to video games. Like, it's I still have guilt myself from my parents who used to scorn me for playing too many video games. When I start playing more than over an hour, I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, oh my, I start getting like sweaty. I'm like, I'm playing too long because of those olden days. Cause my parents would like be like, get off, go outside. Like, you know what I mean? So I still have that. And I think it's the same thing for forms of entertainment across the board, from music to video games. It doesn't matter. I think it's just something that everyone just has to eventually live with. And whatever the generation is in control is the one we have to sort of go along with. Right.
I think so.
That's crazy. Yeah,
100%.
Well, back to retro gaming, my friend, quickly here. I got to know, what are some of your top favorite retro games that are not Mega Man, of course?
It's funny. I like to look through the lists, and because there's so many games on like the Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Genesis era that have like made me, you know, put me in my happy place. And a lot of them are games that I've profiled on, you know, the Flip of the Day channel, you know, there's games like Ape Escape, you know, for the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Contra, you know.
Classic, of course.
Golden Axe on the Genesis. Another. Shinobi, Revenge of Shinobi.
Mm-hmm.
The old Metal Gear. Man, there's so many but I think honestly the game that I pick up and I say it and then I come back to it and I'm like, yep, still holds up. The game that I believe is the game that I absolutely have to play anytime I see it is Super Mario 3. You know, I feel like that game is so timeless. It's so perfect that anytime I see that game on a system, mm-hmm. I got to pick it up and play. And that's the sign to me of a like forever classic is a game that I can constantly play. And that's one of them. Ninja Gaiden as well.
Really? Oh, so you like the hard games.
Yeah, those games are hard, but I like the challenge, man. I really do.
Even
like,
Shinobi, too. That's another hard one.
Yeah, Shinobi's hard. I'm playing the new Contra right now.
Okay.
How's that? They just got a new Contra. And it's got the old school difficulty, man. This game is so really? Hard.
Okay.
There's some points where they're just bullets everywhere on the screen. And you're like, what are you supposed to do? Like, there's no way to escape this.
That's funny.
And then you're dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's super fun, though. But, man, the challenge is kind of what brings you back, you know? Because it's like, oh, if I beat it real quick, I wouldn't even want to play it anymore. But the fact that the game beats me so much, it's like my ego starts to jump in. And I'm like, nah, you're not taking this from me.
Right.
Let's go, you know? And so it makes me really want to work hard to beat it, you know? So I do love a challenge for that reason.
See, that's how I used to be as a kid. I would never let it go. I would have to do it. Now as an adult, I'm like, screw this. I'd rather. And plus, we have so much more to play compared to back the day, right? So
you just turn on another game.
Like, my whole rule is if I die more than 5 times in a place, that's it. On to the next. I'm not good enough to keep playing this game because if I'm dying this early, then I'm going to keep dying more after, right? So that's my rule of thumb now.
That's but, hilarious.
Well, again, like you know what I mean? But we're adults. So we're not kids, too. We have lives. I'm like not like meaning that kids don't have lives, but we have other responsibilities to attend
to,
right?
Lives. For sure. We got more important things to do than sit on a game for hours and hours and hours on end, you know?
Right.
So, and there's so many games, like you said, like I can just pop in a whole new game. Like that's kind of the gift and the curse of today. It's like
yes.
Now that I can afford games, I have too many to play.
Yes.
So I have no patience for a game that's going to just like whoop my behind, you know? It's like, nah, let's just move on.
No, it's so true. And I'm glad you brought up Super Mario 3 instead of Super Mario World, because that's the whole debate. And I'm on the same side as you, my friend. But I think majority always go to Super Mario World as the perfect Mario game. Now, this battle, if it was going head-to-head, what would be your three top points to convince people that Mario 3 is better than Super Mario World?
Okay. And Mario World is amazing.
It is.
And really, I would say, you know, all that Mario World has on it is probably Yoshi.
I think so too, right?
That, I think to me, that's really it. I think Mario 3 has the different suits, mm-hmm. which can certainly attract a person who's like, oh, well, you know, you got a different suit for a different environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a frog suit is super fun. The Tanuki suit, if you can find it,
right?
It's so fun. I mean, it's probably only in like one place in the whole game, but it's really fun to use the raccoon tail and flying with it, you know. I think, to me, it's the suits.
Okay.
That would sell the game for me better than anybody else. You know, I think that that's something that no other game really got until later. So prior to that, there was no other game that would have those. And, you know, it's a fun game. You could speed run it or you could take your time.
True.
You know, it's got a good level of challenge. But you can find one-ups, you know, almost everywhere. So you won't find yourself too frustrated by it. I think that, to me, there are some parts in Mario World that can get really difficult by the end, where you're just like, ah. So I don't know if that's a 3-in-1, but I think the suits and the fact that the level of difficulty is a lot more even-keeled and it won't frustrate you like other games would.
All right, and I'll be devil's advocate. Since I'm on the same fence as you, we won't pile up on Super Mario World. What I'll say is better than Mario 3 on Super Mario World is the first iteration of Star World. To me, that was amazing. Like finding out there was other levels beyond the last levels. Like that never happened in a Mario before. So that's pretty cool to see. And obviously Yoshi, you said it right off the bat. Yoshi's a big one. And I don't know what would be my third one, honestly. Like, I think those are the only two talking points, if I could think of anything. Like, what else would there be other than, obviously, it being more polished because it's 16-bit graphics?
Yeah, that's really it. The fact that it's more polished is really it. But I think they're both in a similar enough gameplay style where if you love one, you'll love the other.
Of course.
But I just feel like Mario 3, the innocence of 8-bit, it's something that gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling, you know?
So you played, you always played the version that's 8-bit. You don't play the Super Mario All-Star remixed one?
No, I don't. Really? I mean, if I had it, I would play it, I guess. But
okay.
I think I remember somebody saying, like, there's a little bit of a difference in the controls.
Really?
You know, like, it doesn't control as tight.
Oh, okay.
I remember someone saying that and me kind of feeling like that, too. Like, it doesn't quite, like, maybe there's either a hair of a second delay
right,
or something like that with the controls on the All-Stars version. So I stick with the original.
Oh, okay. That's cool to hear. All right, my friend. Also, Mario made the jump to the big screen. The second one's going to come out. Obviously, they're already in talks. There's going to be so much more other characters. The world's going to expand and all that fun stuff. But another thing, didn't really make the jump to the big screen, but the small screen, one of my favorite series of all time, I hope it's one of yours too, is Fallout. Have you been watching the Fallout series on Amazon, my friend?
I just started it, and it's really, really good.
Right? I'm two episodes in myself.
Okay. I just downloaded the whole thing for my flight. I have a flight.
Perfect then.
I'm going to catch up. I'm going to be watching the whole flight. The show is great, man. It's gory. It's great character work.
Yep.
It's great acting. It's got a little humor.
Thank you.
You know, it's the music is awesome. You know, I'm always interested in something that ties music in, you know, and I think the Fallout series does that so well, where the old ragtime music takes you into the mood and moment from the gate in this one, man. It's just so well done, man. So well shot. We're in a great time, man, where, you know, they used to take our video game, you know, stuff and try to make movies out of them, and it would be awful. Oh. But now, like, they're making amazing work that's perfectly inspired by the things that we grew up and loved. So we're in an awesome time. We're very, very spoiled, I think, as gamers and TV fans right now. But first episode got me hooked. I am so in on this show.
Oh, and wait to the second episode. It's even better than the first, I think. I've only watched the two episodes, and I'm already saying the second episode is friggin' amazing. And the story, it's so true. Like, you feel like you're playing Fallout. Like, me and my wife were watching it because she likes to watch the – because she fell in love with The Last of Us. She never played it. She loved the story. She had no idea of anything that happened prior to watching it. So she went in fresh, which I was a little jealous, actually, because it's right – to the video game. So every time I saw something, I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to happen. Oh, this happened. Oh, whatever, whatever, right? But in Fallout, I think it's even better because you have this whole, you have the wasteland to contend with. It's not just one character. Fallout is not known for just having that one character. The character is Fallout. Like, you know what I mean? So the stories you could tell is endless, and the characters you could see are endless. And just like seeing the small stuff, the mutated animals quickly, like I felt like I was playing like the first like when you're getting out of the vault in Fallout, like someone comes in, kills all these people, like something's going on, and then you just start your mission and you're outside in the wasteland, right?
Yep.
It's cool. I love it.
It's really well done, man. I'm so impressed. I had a lot of friends being like, dude, you gotta watch this. You gotta watch it. You know, and I was like, all right, I get a little worried when that happens, when everybody's like, okay. But once I finally, okay. This is it. Like, it's legit. So legit.
Oh, my God, it is. And another thing I know you're watching, my friend, you have a podcast, too, again, saying that you don't have enough to do. X-Men 97. Again, being fans of the original, I know you're loving this. Everyone's love. I don't think one person has said one bad thing about the show, right?
No, honestly. You know, it's funny. We review every episode on my podcast, X-Pod 97, and we probably said that this latest episode, episode 6, is maybe our least favorite of the bunch, but it's still an A+. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just been a really, really well done series that I have no complaints about. You know, it's my best dream possible. Like, I didn't think this was possible. Like, I thought this might be okay, but I didn't think it would be exceptional the way it is. Like, this
so
is
good.
Phenomenal work. Like, they are killing it. And, you know, they kind of can't lose at this point. Like, every episode has been fire. Mm-hmm. They're doing such a great job with all these characters. They're adding in new layers to each character. You know what I mean? And it's just been a great thing to see.
No, it is. It's fantastic. And again, it goes back to how we said when we were kids, the stuff that we used to see on TV, it was okay. But now you have our generation who watched this, is inspired, knows all the Easter eggs, and is adding it in now, producing it, making it, not just someone in Hollywood who's trying to make a quick buck because they know we're going to go out and watch it regardless, right?
Absolutely. Like I said, we're just in a really good time where people who really love the source material are working on the source material.
So, yes.
And they're working directly from that and pulling these new things out. So, man, my props to the team for sure. They are killing it.
Oh, they are killing it. Okay, quick question here. I don't know if you've ever had this question or talked about this on your podcast or not, but if you could play any of the X-Men or even a villain in an upcoming movie, who would you want to play?
Wow. I would play Beast.
Oh, okay. Any reason behind it, or just one of your favorites?
I just feel like he's one of my favorites. Okay. He's a great character. That's, you know, he's intelligent, you know, he's strong. I feel like that's a character that I could voice well. You know, he's always quoting really, you know, wise words from books and things. And so I feel like that's something that I would do pretty well. Like, I think I could do that justice.
No, that's a good shutout. It is. Now, how about this? Who do you think has the best powers of all the X-Men?
Oh, man.
Right?
The best power. Well, I think Professor X, you know what I mean? I think just being able to, like, psychically connect to any person anywhere, I think is great, but also could be very stressful, you know, having that kind of link to all people, you know, but just being able to know what people are thinking, be able to kind of manipulate a little bit, you know. I don't know. But yeah, I would say Professor X. Like, I feel like that is the most, like, useful power, you know. But you never have to wonder what's going on, or who's thinking what.
Would you the trade-off, though?
I mean, flying and super strength and all that's cool, but okay. I don't know. I think, like, mental power is definitely stronger.
Well, it is, but would you do the trade-off, the mental powers for not being able to walk?
Ooh.
Right?
Now that, I don't know if I would want to do that.
Exactly.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Ugh. Yeah, I don't know if I would want that. Yeah, I'd want to be able to walk, but I guess you can't have them both, right?
Right? You see what I mean? Like, it's sort of like that whole thing with Rogue. You're like the most powerful mutant almost, but you can't really have a relationship. Well, mind you, now we're seeing the past relationship in Magneto and how he's able to touch her and stuff, which is a cool, nice little add-on.
That was a nice little touch. Right? You know, like, I didn't see that coming.
Me neither.
Like, they're so crazy. Like, what's impressing me about the show is each episode, kind of, we learn a different layer of each character.
Thank you.
And so we get a new layer of them. Like, we learn how they're not perfect, you know? And so we only one we really haven't gotten to is probably Wolverine, which maybe they're saving for the end, you know? Because I feel like Wolverine was the most kind of interesting in the beginning, in the old series. So kind of saving him, I think, is for the best. But I'm really curious, like, what deeper level of Wolverine they can show us, because that's kind of been what's happening the whole show, is like we're getting another level of each character.
But here's the thing, though. In the original series, we went deep with Wolverine. We saw the Weapon X stuff, like, you know, all that other stuff that happened. Even there was that Japan episode where you went back about his past and stuff. So will we actually see it? Because we didn't really see that with any of the other X-Men in the original series.
No, that's true. I mean, right? It's a good point. Like, maybe we already got what we need from Wolverine.
I think so.
So now he's a team player at this point, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. And you also dropped an amazing track called Mutant Music, X-Men 97 Cypher. Love it, my friend. So again, speaking of taking samples, again, it's not a video game, but of old school shit, like, in bringing it in and putting a new layer on it. Oh, I love that. Who doesn't like that first beat when you hear it, when it drops from X-Men? You know, it takes you back to Saturday morning, watching it in front of your TV in your pajamas. Oh, just great stuff, my friend.
Yes. Thank you so much. That's really what I was going for. I started that song in 2018.
Wow.
I couldn't even believe it. I started it before the idea of X-Men 97 was a thing.
Yeah.
You know, we were just like, you know what? This is a piece of music that has lasted forever. Like, it was, you know, so epic. And so I started it and just didn't know what to do with it. So then I got back to it. I added more characters. I reproduced the beat and then got a really good mix on it. And then bam, here it is. But it took me a really long time to try to make sure I was going to do this justice, you know?
No, and again, it shows, and it's great. And again, it's a cipher. You got, like, you literally formed your X-Men, and you guys united and put out a track. Like, again, it's right there. It's such amazing shit.
Thank you.
Now, has the theme ever been sampled anywhere else? Because I don't think so. Like, I even tried Googling it. I don't think I could find anything.
I don't know, actually. Right? You know, I looked myself. And that's always a big part of when I do these things. I'm like, I want to be able to do something that no one's done. And so I'm always like, well, let me check first before I do something crazy. And then someone says, ah, man, so-and-so did that already last week, you know? And I'm like, ah, crap, you know? So it made me do a lot of research, but, you know, no, I didn't see it. No one did it. So another first for me, I guess.
There you go. Chalk it up again. What is it, on your bingo scorecard, as they keep saying? Then you notice that's the new thing to say this year.
Oh, yeah, the bingo card thing. Yeah. Oh. That wasn't on my bingo card this year.
Right?
Oh, man.
Oh, that's too funny. Oh, my goodness. Okay, my friend, before we wrap it up, you're going on tour this summer. You're doing your thing. So many, again, projects. You're so busy. What's been your favorite thing or experience about being on tour in the past and that you're looking forward to again?
As corny as it sounds, man, I just like to connect with people, man.
Okay.
Like, I'm a people person for sure. You know, I'm an only child. So
there you go.
And we make these songs, and like, I tell people all the time, my home is kind of the internet, you know, I live on the internet. I'm there all morning, every day. I'm sending messages out, sending new songs out, tweeting, whatever. And I don't get to physically connect with the people that are touched by the music unless I go on the road. And so to me, that's the best part of this whole journey, is that I get to see people that I know, that know me, that love me, and that,
good point,
you know,
yeah,
remember me from the last time. I get to check in on their family. I get to do so many things that, you know, that keep me connected. And then that's what I use to go home and create the next thing with, you know, is that energy, those stories and those conversations. So it's really a blessing to be able to do it. You know, there's a lot of people I know that are blessed enough to make music,
sure,
you know, blessed, but being able to tour that music is, to me, the ultimate blessing, because I get to connect with the people that are directly supporting me, directly purchasing it, buying it, you know, telling friends about it. And I get to have conversations with them that will continue to inspire me.
No, of course. Well put, my friend. Now, the question is, speaking of fans, when are you coming to Toronto, my friend?
Man, I hope very soon.
You go to Montreal, you go to other places. Like, you keep shunning us over here, man.
I haven't been to Toronto. I'm trying to remember the last time.
It's been a while.
I heard there's a wrestling event going to be out there. So maybe, I think Money in the Bank's going to be there.
Yes, there is, yes.
So I don't know. If I could find somebody to book me a show, maybe? I don't know. I like to make my work trips pleasure trips as well.
So, of course.
If we were like, oh, let's do a pre-party for Money in the Bank, I don't know. I'll find a place, a bar, a comic shop, a wrestling organization. I don't know. But I'm going to open my ears and my DMs to the possibility of maybe talking to some people about making that happen, because it's been a long time since I've been in Toronto. I was there for the Fan Fest or Fan Expo.
Okay, yeah, we have that in August, I believe.
That was a couple years ago.
Okay.
I was out there for that.
Okay. Yeah, but you didn't perform or anything, right?
We had a show planned, and then it got canceled.
Oh, no.
The venue got shut down. But we were playing with the Cybertronic Spree, who does who are from Canada. They do great Transformers-based music.
Ooh.
And they dress up and everything. They're really cool. So I'm going to talk to them, as well as Word Burglar. Another one of my buddies is from Toronto.
There you go.
There's a great audience for kind of what I do out
yes.
there. Great wrestling town. It's a great, like, nerdy type town. Great comic book town.
Yep.
So, you know, Scott Pilgrim, you know.
Shout out to
him. So there's a lot to love about Toronto. So I'm going to try my best to get out there this year. So you can quote me on that. And I want to see you at the show if we make it happen.
Oh, of course. You know, I'll be there in first in line, my friend. Don't worry about it.
All right.
That's what I'm about. Well, Megaran, thank you for coming aboard today, my friend. It's always a pleasure catching up with you. All things wrestling, video games, music, all the stuff we love to listen and watch. promote your stuff, whatever you want to put out there, my friend. Floor is all yours.
Thank you so much. You know what? I have so many websites, so many places I'm at, but the best place to get them all is on Linktree. So if you go to linktree.com/MegaRant, you're going to see my newest song on Spotify, my newest podcast episode, my newest tour dates. Everything that's happening will be all in one place instead of me being like, oh, go to Twitter, go to Twitch.
I know, I got to do that.
X, go to Facebook, go to there. So now we have a one-stop shop, linktree.com/MegaRant, which will give you everything I do all in one handy dandy place because there's so much happening right now. I'm dropping a new song every 2 weeks up until my tour, which is in July. So there will be new songs coming out from me based on maybe video games, soundtrack work that I've done, things like that. I'm on the new video game, Yellow Taxi Goes Vroom, which just dropped for Steam, a really fun platformer. There's so much music I'm working on that I can't talk about, but don't worry, you'll be getting new stuff from me every couple of weeks, and you can get it all at linktree.com/MegaRant.
Awesome. And for myself, you can find me on Instagram and X under Finga Styles. You can follow the podcast on X, the podcast app. Email us your thoughts, suggestions, comments, anything you want to get off your chest at thepodcastapp@gmail.com. Please check out the fine sponsors. If it helps them out, most definitely helps me out. Most importantly, please rate, subscribe, review on all the major platforms. And if this is the first time you're listening to the show, please go back and listen to other recording artists, such which includes a few Juno nominees. So for you American listeners, that's the equivalent of a Grammy. To a ton of wrestlers from old school to up-and-comers to current people you see on TV, a ton of people in the video game industry, and so many others. All right, one last question before I let you go, my friend. We talked about X-Men, we talked about gaming. So now here it is. What is your favorite X-Men game of all time?
Wow, that's the arcade game. I mean, there's really only one answer.
Really? Okay.
I dug the Genesis one.
Yeah, that one was good.
The arcade game, the six-player, come on. You know, nobody wanted to be Dazzler, but outside of that,
that's true.
That game was amazing.
It
like,
was.
Come on. That's my jam right there. Forever, X-Men, the arcade game. I still, one of these days when I get rich, when I start really killing it like you, Steve.
Oh, here we go.
I'm going to get the giant-sized arcade cabinet of X-Men, and I'm going to get all my friends together, and we're going to play six-man X-Men game and run all the way through it. Together in person like the old days.
Oh my god, no, that's awesome. Yeah, you know what, I always forget about those old school ones, and you have the likes of obviously the Simpsons that are just like that too, like those old hack and slash arcade games where you just a bunch of friends just hover around. Those things are classics. But I'll throw in mine, which is X-Men Legends, to see that come alive where you could pick a ton of different X-Men RPG-esque, ton of different powers, and have them all there. Oh, to me, that was fantastic as well.
Yeah. Good times, man.
Good times.
Classic beat 'em ups.
You got it. On that note, he's MegaRant. I'm Steve. This is the podcast. Peace.